Good morning and greet you in Jesus' name. I'm glad to be here, and I was inspired as we looked into our Sunday school lesson and thought about truth, thought about brotherly love, and it's encouraging to be able to be part of a brotherhood where we can share around truth and find our inspiration in truth. I was thinking about a message this morning, and as I was preparing, and I was thinking about our nation's birthday, and you know, for some reason, our nation's birthday is becoming less and less of a thing to me, and I'm not exactly sure how to say it other than that. A lot of the principles and values that our nation was founded on, and a lot of the things that the founding fathers of this country stood for, are just trashed today, and that's really sad when you think about it. And so what is our responsibility today, and what do we have as citizens of another country? What's our responsibility? And I thought about that for a little, and I'm not really going down that line as far as a message, but when I think of the Church of Jesus Christ, isn't it because of a lot of failures on the part of the Church of Jesus Christ that maybe the values and principles are being so trampled and lightly esteemed in our day? And the challenge that I'd like to just leave with you this week is, you are a citizen of a heavenly country. Act like it, and let's be giving our testimony. Let's be a witness for Jesus Christ where we are as we go about our work and our activities this week. Let's show it that our citizenship is in another country, and let's be the salt and the light that we can be today in this country, in spite of all the corruption and debauchery and all that's around us. Turn with me to Galatians 6. I would say that if I would have seen Brother Darvin sitting back there, I'd have been making a trip back there ahead of time, but I didn't see it until I was sitting up here. And so anyway, Galatians chapter 6, and I'd like to start out by reading verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I've titled the message this morning, Restoring Our Brother. And it's an interesting subject when you think of restoring something. And I've heard of restoring a lot of things. You know, you hear restoring old trucks and tractors, and you hear restoring guns and old barns and houses, and there's a lot of things that can be restored and brought back and new life, maybe get some new life out of it. But this verse talks about restoring our brother. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, restore him. You that are spiritual, you restore him. And it says, brethren, if a man. And in my Bible, the center column, it says, brethren, although a man be overtaken in a fault. Just not just if, but although. Although a man, and it makes it much more something we should expect. There's going to be those times when our brother is overtaken in a fault. We're overtaken in a fault, and it tells us what to do about it. And I believe this verse brings into focus the reality of our fallen nature. Every one of us is prone to failure, and every one of us is prone to sin and failure, and this verse brings that into focus, the possibility of failure. If a man be overtaken, and that overtaken has the idea of caught or trapped or enslaved in a fault, in sin. As a brother, my goal should be to restore such an one and to restore those that are overtaken and overcome by sin. And restore, the Greek word that's used there means to thoroughly repair or reestablish or mend. And it's the idea of a lot of effort being put into it thoroughly, and it takes perseverance. It's not something that we can just sort of happens, but it takes effort on our part to make it happen. And this is a challenge to every one of us. I'd like to just read, starting back in Galatians 5. I'd like to read Galatians 5, verses 22 to chapter 6 and verse 2. And you'll recognize Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit there. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the challenge in verse 1 is that ye which are spiritual, you that are spiritual, you restore those that fall. And we back up to see what a spirit-filled person is, and you have that in verses 22 and 23. And it gives the fruit of the Spirit, and it's love and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and all those things. And those are some of the characteristics that are so beneficial and so helpful when it comes to restoring our brother and helping our brother that has fallen. Our tendency and the things that come natural to us, and we tend to focus on picking ourselves up, and we tend to focus on comparing ourselves with others, and a spirit-filled person instead is filled with the Spirit of God, and he has the good of his brother in mind, and he's not thinking about his own good, but he's thinking about the good of his brother. Our carnal nature will use the failures in others to lift ourselves, the failures of others to lift ourselves up, and of course that's not the response of a spirit-filled person. And I'd like to use these particularly. Chapter 6 of Galatians and verse 1 as the basis for the thoughts that I want to leave with you, some thoughts that I'd like to leave with you, challenges that I'd like to leave with you from this verse as we restore our brother, our fallen brother. Number 1, we need to recognize sin for what it is. If we want to understand how important it is to restore our fallen brother, we'll need to understand, first of all, how serious sin is and what it does to a person, what it does to us, and what it has the potential to do to the body of Christ and to the brotherhood. And sin is destructive. And there's a lot of adverse effects of sin. And Sin separates a person from God. Sin destroys our relationship with God. And so when we see a brother fall, it should really concern us, because we know that his relationship with God isn't what it should be. And it should concern us to the point where we do something about it. And we reach out, we're looking to restore him. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of some of Paul's rebuke, I guess it is, direction to the church at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians 5, you have the first part of that chapter. Paul was admonishing the Corinthians for some of the sin that he saw in the church there at Corinth. And verse 2, he says, this sin, you're actually glorying in it. You're puffed up. You're proud of it. And you're glorying in that sin and have not rather mourned. And Paul was addressing this sin that was being ignored and telling them, instead of mourning, instead of doing something about it, you're proud of the fact that you can overlook it. And you're proud of the fact that you're overlooking it, and somehow you decide that sin doesn't really matter. And then in verse 6, this is what Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And I'd like to leave that with you in particular, that phrase, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let that sin unchecked, or you let it alone and you ignore it, it's going to grow. And Paul uses the analogy of yeast or leaven. And we know that given the right conditions, that thing just grows. And sin left alone and unchecked, it grows, and it has adverse effects in the body of Christ. Number two, closely related to this, we need to each take personal responsibility for the purity of the body of Christ. And I think that's a challenge that each of us needs to take serious, that we have a concern that the body of Christ stays pure. You know where it starts. It starts right in our own hearts. And we're concerned about our own hearts and that what's in my heart is pure. And we alone are the ones that know really what's going on there. I can talk to you after church this morning and I don't know what's in your heart. There's little things that come out. Maybe that, you know, it's either a good sign or a bad sign, maybe, but I really don't know what's in your heart, but you do. You really do. And I know what's in my heart. And the challenge that I'd like to leave with you is that each of us are honest about what's in our own hearts and what we allow in our own heart. And we're concerned about taking personal responsibility for the purity of the body of Christ. And then along with that is we also care enough about our brother that if we see that there's a problem in his life and he's struggling, or we said that this overtaken in a fault, it means enslaved or trapped or overcome. We see him in a condition like that. We care enough about the body of Christ and the purity of the body of Christ that we do something about it. And we don't just, I'm not sure. I guess, he got to know. But we care about our brother. And we take personal responsibility to do something about it. The Bible does speak about being long-suffering. And I believe we need a good dose of that in brotherhood. But let's not allow this long-suffering to, that doesn't mean overlooking and ignoring in sin in our own lives or the life of our brother. Let's take responsibility for our own hearts and also care about our brother. Number three, our own motives and spirit need to be right before we're ready to start restoring our brother. It says in verse 1 there, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one. So our motives need to be right, our spirit needs to be right. And you back up to Galatians 5, and you look at those verses in verses 22 to 24. And that's what it means to be a spiritual person. It's to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit and be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And it's love and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness. And these are all characteristics of a Spirit-filled person. And they're all characteristics that if you want to be successful in restoring your brother, you're going to need to exemplify that, and you're going to need to use those characteristics in the restoration process. Only as we are spirit-filled can we have the right motives and as we seek to restore those that fall. You know, it's so natural and so native for us to use our brother's shortcomings to lift ourselves up or to justify ourselves. And we look around and say, well, that's where he is, and at least I'm not there. I'm over here somewhere. And we use that to justify ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with the new nature, where instead of envy and pride and competition and all those things, we're filled with the desire to see our brother succeed and succeed spiritually and have a relationship with God. And we care about him enough that we're concerned that his relationship with God is what it should be. And it grieves us, and we're willing to do something about it if it's not like that. Number four, and I get this point from the end of verse 6, we need to recognize our own vulnerability and proneness to failures and shortcomings, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, if we wait, we need to approach this restoration process with, I'm doing this because I care about my brother. And I'm doing this not because I'm perfect myself, and because I'm not. I'm prone to failure. I'm considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And we don't seek to restore one another because we never fail or because we have it all figured out. We need each other. We need to readily admit our own weakness. And that goes with this in the spirit of meekness. And as we reach out to help each other and to restore our brother, we do it in a spirit of meekness, understanding that we also have the same temptations. We face the same temptations. We face the same pressure to give in and to give up the fight. Recognize your own vulnerability and proneness to failure as you seek to restore your brother. And number five, I'd like to just look at a number of steps of restoration and how do we go about restoring our brother, and how's it done? And as I was thinking about that, I thought of the I thought of restoring a piece of furniture. I don't know an awful lot about it, but I do know that there's a lot of parts of the restoration process of a piece of furniture that I don't care for. And you know, the first thing you got to do is, if you want to really restore a piece of furniture back to its original beauty and make it something that's worth something, and that's as a restored piece, you're going to need to first get rid of the varnish and the old finish that's on there. You know, I can remember trying some of that already, and you know, I hate sanding with a passion, and the temptation is to get started, and yeah, it doesn't look too bad about right now, and so the fun stuff is, you know, smearing some new stain on, and you know, you can actually see some change happening here, and you start, and you put some varnish on and some lacquer or whatever it is, and that's the fun stuff. The restoration process in those projects, there's a lot of things in that restoration process that aren't really fun. And that's how it is when we need to restore each other. And when we need to restore our brother, there's a lot of things about that process that aren't really enjoyable. And neither should they be. That's not really what the restoration process is about, so we can have fun. But there's things as a result of sin, and because of shortcoming and failure, there's some things that we need to go through that aren't really enjoyable. It doesn't work to skip some of the steps in restoring a piece of furniture, and it doesn't work to skip some steps when we're restoring our brother either. Let's remember that. I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm not sure right where to break in here. In verse 7, it talks about giving grace. He's according to the gift of Christ. Verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. And then in verse 11, he talks about some of the gifts that he gave to the church. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And notice this, he did those things for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And then notice verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's verse 15 is the verse that I had in mind in particular. But speaking the truth in love, when we set out to restore a brother, we need to be really clear about what the failure is, and that it is a failure, and that it is a sin. And you know, it's easy to downplay. We want to be friends, and we want to be so careful that we keep a relationship up. But when there's failure, and when there's sin, we need to be clear about the failure and sin. We can't water it down or act like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's just something I thought about, or you know, it's no big deal really. Sin is a big deal. It does matter. It affects our relationship with God. It has an effect on the greater body, and we talked about that little leaven. That leaven's the whole lump. Sin matters, and it's a problem, and it must be taken care of. It must be talked about, and if there's going to be restoration and healing. And the challenge is that we're clear about it, and that we get that on the table. But it needs to be done in love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it's after that happens that verse 16 can happen. From the whole body being fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. And there's an increase. And as we're faithful in speaking the truth in love and taking care of that part, I believe God can work and Christ can work in the body. And it's a challenge that I'd like to leave with every one of you, that we're willing to be honest and upfront, frank, but we do it in a heart of love. And it takes this thing in Galatians chapter 5. It takes love, and it takes gentleness, and it takes patience and meekness, it takes crucifying the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we want to be successful in restoring our brother in this first point, it's going to take a spirit-filled person. Just remember that. You'll never be successful in restoring your brother if you go to him with any less. Number two, restore in a spirit of meekness. And I'm not exactly sure what all that means. To me, it means humility. When we restore our brother, we have a genuine concern for him. We recognize our own proneness to failure and shortcoming, and we don't try to restore our brother simply because we think we have all the answers or we think we have it right. But we restore him because we know in our hearts that we're prone to this same failure. And we're actually, as we go to him, we're actually inviting it in return. And I think that's it's a good exercise for us to restore our brother, but remember that we're going to need it too, sooner or later. Restore in gentleness. I think that's part of the restoration process, and I think it's part of meekness. But in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, it's Paul talking again. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. And he's talking about his efforts in taking care of the problems that he saw in the church of Corinth. And he talked about restoring them in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It takes gentleness. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7, Paul made the statement to the Thessalonians that we were gentle among you. And gentleness has the idea, as I read these verses, it has the idea of patience. And we're not going to see all the results that we'd like to see just right away. And it takes time, and it takes patience and perseverance. Helping a person to find victory over sin or a habit requires gentleness and patience, and it's just like the restoration projects that you undertake, whether it's a piece of furniture, whether it's the old barn, or what it is. It's probably not going to happen tonight. It's a series of steps, and it takes work, and it takes patience, and I call it gentleness. Number four, it also takes forgiveness, and that's part of the restoration process, is forgiveness. We let the past be in the past, when that's taken care of, it's not something that we need to talk about every time, and we need to rediscuss. But we let the past be in the past. We're willing to relate to this brother that maybe it was a personal offense, and maybe that's what I have more in mind in this particular point. This thing of forgiveness. Maybe it's a personal thing, and you know, forgive and be willing to relate to him in a normal way. And it's get to the point where when you meet your brother, that offense, what he did to you in the past, that offense in the past isn't the first thing that you think of. Forgive and let the past be in the past. Number five, and this is the last point I have. Maintain an interest in the life of your brother. You know, sometimes it's when there's a problem, when there's an offense, when there's an issue, that's when we're tempted to get involved. We're not part of our brother's life anymore. But many times, I believe that as we maintain good brotherhood relationships, and as there's a closeness and a cohesion and a love for our brother and being involved in each other's life, those are the things that help to keep us from being overtaken in the faults that Galatians 6 and verse 1 talks about. When we realize that our brother, or when our brother realizes that we have a genuine interest in his life, and we care about him, and we're interested in seeing him succeed spiritually, isn't that one of the things that tempers how he lives? Isn't it what tempers how you live and some of the choices you make because of you care about letting your brother down? And I know that's not the most important thing, but it is a part of it. Maintain an interest in his life. Keep up the relationship. This restoration process, if it's done right, I believe, and as we follow the steps that we were talking about, I believe it draws us together, and we we're closer now than we were before. This morning, the restoration of souls is probably one of the most important activities that we can be involved in. When we think about what's at stake, when we think about that a soul that has lost his relation, has sinned, he's lost his relationship with God, it affects a destiny, and it affects where that person spends eternity. And if we think about that, and we think about how serious, okay, what I do about this and the steps that I take to this could affect where my brother spends eternity, it makes it really, really important. And it helps us to understand how important it is. For many of us, restoring something is kind of a hobby. We have a lot of stuff floating around our farm that needs restored. And sometime I'm going to restore that. And so you keep it and you pack and you start things that you, you know, I'm going to get this so that when I restore that. And it's a hobby. And it's something that we intend to do sometime when we have time. The restoration of souls can't be that. It has to be number one. It has to be most important, and it has to happen today because souls are at stake. There's eternal consequences if we choose to restore or choose not to restore. There's eternal consequences of how we choose to make this restoration happen, or whether or not we're successful in that restoration. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Restoring our fallen brother is fulfilling the law of Christ. What it is it's demonstrating Christ's love to our brothers and sisters and to each other. It's what we're called to do because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. God bless you in that. Let's kneel for prayer.